This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, he's the only one. I'm very sure, my anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. What a blessing to know that your anchor is Jesus Christ, the solid rock this morning. We can depend on him, and there's a great reason for that, because he's dependable, because he's faithful, because he is the solid rock that doesn't move. And our faith in him, because he is the author and finisher of it, it doesn't move either. Yes, we do have doubts, because we deal with this enemy every day, as we are in this life being conformed to the image of the perfect man, Jesus Christ.
Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Now, we've been looking at the significance and importance of the Word of God to the believer, and how important it is that our minds dwell on him. To begin with, when our minds dwell on him by partaking of his word, again, he is the true manna from heaven. Remember, when we partake of him, we actually are nourished spiritually, just like we are when we partake of physical food that we need. All right. So we are to be conformed to his image. We know this from Romans 8:29, and we've brought this out in previous messages, that we are predestined by God. Remember, God is the planner whose plan always comes through. He is the sovereign God. He does have all power in heaven and on earth, and we are predestined to be conformed to the image of God the Son. Now, the Bible teaches us that Adam and Eve were created. Adam was created in the image of God. In the image of God. Well, we know that Adam and Eve were perfect before the fall. They walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. They walked with God perfectly. There was no friction between them. There was no confrontations. It was a unity. And I believe that in this new person that we are, because Jesus Christ has created a new person in us when he saved us, when he quickened us, what the Bible says, or made us alive. And in this confirmation, in us being conformed to the image of Christ, we are returning to that ability to walk with him. And it's in our life that we experience that. And as we grow in him, we are becoming more and more like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember, they had no sin. Their bodies were perfect. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, they became aware that they didn't have any clothes on. They didn't know it before. But because of the sin, which is they disobeyed God's order. That's what sin is. Because of that, they now were ashamed of themselves and the fact that they were naked. And they hid from God, remember. But we're talking this morning more about before then. God created man in his own image. However, when they did disobey God, they completed what God had already said would happen if they did. And that is, they sinned against him and they died. We're here because physically they kept living. We are their offspring, but they were separated from God and they lost, to an extent, this image that they were created in. Because this image that they were created in was a perfect image, right? Just like the Son of God. Remember, he's the only human that lived out his entire life and didn't sin. He is the only one that obeyed God, which is what God required. From the beginning, God required Adam and Eve to obey him. And they had everything in the world, literally, at their disposal. Everything. All right, but they partially lost that image. Now, in the fall. Now, whenever God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth, God restored his image in man. I want us to see that this morning. Adam and Eve were perfect in the Garden of Eden before the fall. They lost that perfect image of God that they were created in when they disobeyed God and were separated from him spiritually. Now, the only way to restore that image to mankind was for a man to be born and for a man to live his entire life in perfect obedience to God. Jesus Christ said himself, and it's already been mentioned this morning by Brother Chuck, he said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. Being the way, he is the source of truth because he is the truth. And being the source of truth, he is also the source of life, or the source of the restoration of the image of God. You see that? So, Jesus Christ restored the image of God in man. Now, by doing so, he qualified to please God on your behalf and mine. No other human ever could have done it. Because after Adam and Eve, we all were born into sin. All have sinned, the Bible tells us, and come short of the glory of God. Even as Adam and Eve did in the garden, it's passed on to us. Now, I want us to see that God is restoring His image in us today. He restored His image in mankind in Jesus Christ, again, which was necessary because there was none available. And though none of this took God by surprise, because this is in His infinite and perfect plan that He's working out perfectly. But God has saved us, and we have learned in His Word that when He did so, the way that He gave us life, that Adam and Eve lost spiritual connection with God, is that He put His Holy Spirit within us. Even in the Old Testament, we read that God will give us a new heart. The Lord told the woman at the well that the time is coming when man will worship neither in the mountain or in the temple. We don't need the temple anymore. Why? Because we are the temple of God. You see, He put His Holy Spirit within us. What image would the Holy Spirit bear? It'd be the image of God, wouldn't it? The perfect, holy, righteous image of God. And you see, God, through Jesus Christ, is restoring that image that Adam was created in, that Eve was created in, to you and to me. Brother Gene read for us over where Paul had said in Romans, be not conformed to this world. And you see, that's really an opposition. That's opposite to being conformed to the image of Christ, isn't it? Absolutely. Because the world is against Christ. Anybody who looks can see that in this world today. Any religion, any form of worship is okay to the system of the world as long as it's not Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe. As long as it's not Him. So, we are not to be conformed to the world or the image of the world, or our hearts to be conformed to the love of the world. David and I were talking yesterday some about the love of money is the root of all evil. Why? Because it puts the ability of money to obtain things above the ability of God to provide. You see that? I had somebody, it might have been one of my sister-in-law, somebody said one time that if you see somebody begging on the street and you pray for them, but you don't give them any money, that you haven't done anything. So, what I said was, so you put the value of money above the power of God through prayer. It's not the case. No. All the things of this world are going to burn. Wood, hay, and stubble. All these little g gods, they're going to burn too. Why? Because they're not real. They're the figment of someone's imagination that they created out of something earthly. And that's all going to burn, isn't it? Christ's likeness is the predestined purpose of God for you. Romans 8:29 told us exactly that. You are predestined to be conformed to His image. You see, it's all in God's perfect plan, isn't it? Absolutely. He restored the image of God in mankind through Jesus Christ. He is restoring the image of God in man, in you today. That new person that lives within you, he bears the image of God. That old man within you that fights against your new man every day, he and the new man are like oil and water. You can shake them up, and they'll appear to mix together, but in the end, they're separate. They're separate. You say, even that old man can't take you away from the love of God and His plan for you. You're secure, standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. All right, turn with me to John chapter 9. And we all would know the account of the blind man here in the first few verses of John chapter 9. But I want us to see God's perfect predestinated plan for you, as well as for this blind man here in this account. All right. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, never seen anything. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they asked him, what caused this? Somebody messed up somewhere. So it seemed to them, because this man can't see and never has been able to. What happened? Jesus answered, verse 3, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Now, Jesus is not saying that this boy's parents are perfect and they've never done anything wrong, they've never disobeyed God, they've never sinned. No, they were sinners. But he's saying that this man's blindness hasn't been caused by a sin that his parents committed. But there was a greater reason why this man was blind. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. We go through a lot of trials, don't we? The Lord himself said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, didn't he? But then he basically said, don't be sad about it. Don't be upset about it. Don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. Because I, following God's perfect ordained plan, have overcome the world. Amen. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest or in him, or seen in him. Not only seen in him the plan of God, but seen by us, because we have the account that God has saved for us to read and to consider. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. When? While it is day. In other words, now. Today is the day of salvation, you see. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. Now, I want you to notice what he did to and for the blind man. Again, this man had been blind from his birth. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Jesus spit on the ground. And he made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. When God created Adam in his own image, how did he do it? Well, we don't know. So let me ask the question, what did he do it with? The Lord said he was earthy from the earth, didn't he? So he created, and this is the creator, by the way, now, the Son of God. Nothing was created without him that was created. That's We're told that. He created man in God's image with the earth and water. Well, how do I know that? Because the body's 90-something percent water, right? Something like that. Very large percentage of our bodies is water, and we were made from the earth. Here's the Creator. Here's the Creator replicating His creation of life. Isn't that something? He spit on the ground, and what did He pick it up with? The same hands that created the earth that He's making this clay out of to give sight. And you know, sight certainly is, it's life. It's life. Jesus is the light of the world, right? He enlightens us to Himself and to the knowledge of Him as He is conforming us to His image. All right. That just hit me the last time I read that. This is the Creator. He created man the exact same way. Now He's creating sight for the blind man the same way. With His hands, and He made clay. When Paul in Romans said that we are being conformed to the image of God, he was insinuating the action of a potter. And what does he do? He takes clay to the potter, takes clay and mixes it with water, right? Yeah, that's what he does. And he makes a vessel out of it. Okay. Chasing a rabbit. Ephesians 5:12, we're told to be ye therefore followers of God. Let's turn to Ephesians 5 for a second. That won't hurt you. Ephesians chapter 5. Obviously, this is Paul to the church at Ephesus. All right, let's read, from verse 14. Verse 13. Ephesians 5:13 says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light," or sight, or being able to see these things for what they are. "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light," or enlightenment. "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." There's the Creator giving life again, isn't it? "See then," based on that, now that you know that, "see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." How do we walk in this life, our daily walk? How do we walk circumspectly? Well, here's how we do it. We make decisions based on what we know is true. We make decisions on what we know God approves of. That's how we walk circumspectly. We have a baseline, don't we, to go by? We do. We have a ruler and a rule that the ruler made to live by. So we walk circumspectly. "See then," verse 15, "that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." What is wisdom? The book teaches us that it's the fear of God. That's the beginning of it, right? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And certainly, we go by this baseline of truth that God has given us so that we can walk, how? In the image of Jesus Christ. Because that's what He's conforming us to be. Verse 15. So we're walking circumspectly, going by the baseline of the truth of God's Word, not as fools. What does the fool say? "There is no God." We know Him, though, don't we? We know him, but as wise, those who fear God and love God and seek him and seek to be like him. Okay. Redeeming the time. Verse 16. Because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, the days are evil today. They're evil. And there's one thing. That as far as I know, we're not going to get any more of. That God has predestined for us to have, and that's time. Redeem the time. What's the most important thing you can give? It's your time. It really is. It's your time. Wherefore be you not unwise. Let's see, where am I at? Verse 17. Right. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 16. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Well, if wisdom is the beginning, I mean, if fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, then unwise would be not to fear God, right? Now, I can make my own decision. I'll decide what's right or wrong. I won't go by the baseline of God's word. I'll go by what I think or what some other person thinks that I look up to. No. No. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? It's that you be transformed in the renewing of your mind and become like Him. If you love me, do what I say. That's what the Lord said, isn't it? All right. Back to John 9. When he had thus spoken, John 9, 6, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind men with the clay. We were spiritually blind, you know. But God touched us with his hand, and he gave us sight. Praise the Lord. That we can see ourselves as we are and see him as he is our divine Savior. The perfect image of God in his life he lived. And then he gave it up for us, didn't he? He said unto him, verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and he came seeing. What a Savior. I tell you what, he has pleased God with his perfect life that he lived in the image of God. And it's a blessing to know that he's in control. It's his plan that's working out perfectly. My plans fail quite regularly. But his never do.
Praise the Lord.
He's in control. And I'm standing on what he's done for me. He's given me this life freely to live. And to live for and to him. Oh, thank God that you're being conformed. And as you partake of him and his word every day, you are more and more being conformed into his image. He has fulfilled his promise that he made even in the Garden of Eden. And he sent his son. And he has restored the perfect image of God in man, in Jesus Christ. He is restoring the image of God in a perfect man in you. It's a process in our life that's what's happening. We're being conformed to his image. And he shall complete this restoration when he comes back. We're going to have a new body, and it's going to be like his. No sin, praise God. He's paid it all, hasn't he? He's a great Savior.